Oferecimento Esportes da Sorte. É muito mais que bet. Saques diários ilimitados e depósitos a partir de R$1. Quem experimenta não esquece. Jogue com responsabilidade.
Pedro, the fisherman, is always thinking. Something like that. Oh, you got it. That was a song from my childhood. Where are you now?
I'm in São Paulo.
We like São Paulo.
Olá, muito bem-vindos. Olha, para a geração com mais de 60 por aí, o sonho nem começou. Os Beatles nunca vieram ao Brasil. Em compensação, o autor de Yesterday, Hey Jude, Let It Be e Get Back, o canhoto Paul McCartney, aos 81 anos, está aqui pela décima vez. E essa vai ser a mais longa passagem dele entre nós, que veio com outros shows na agenda e ainda deu um de brinde ali em Brasília, no Clube do Choro. Quando ele disser o último Obrigado no Maracanã, no sábado, dia 16, ele estará fechando o seu 36º show na Terra Brasilis em 23 anos de um amor muito correspondido. E mais que isso, vai ser o retorno dele ao maior estádio do mundo, palco do maior público já reunido por um artista solo, no caso, ele mesmo, 184 mil pessoas em duas noites de 1990. Foi um recorde? Foi! Mais um para o cara que fez parte da maior banda de todos os tempos. A banda que vendeu mais de 300 milhões de discos no tempo em que os discos eram vendidos e mais de 50 anos depois de desfeita, emplacou uma das músicas mais ouvidas do mundo nas plataformas de streaming nesse ano de 2023. Mas quer saber? Melhor deixar os números para lá. Melhor buscar as raízes dessa história no porvir, assim como nos propôs o saudoso mestre Zuza Homem de Melo. No futuro, ele, Paul, será visto como um criador no nível de Mozart, em sua própria época. E por sua época, entenda-se, a vida de todos nós. Da década de 60 e o advento da cultura pop e as revoluções da contracultura, da reinvenção da década de 70, a sofisticação adulta dos 80, dos videoclipes aos mega shows em estádios das décadas de 90, 2000, 2010, discos, livros, filmes, roupas, gestos e ideias que formaram nossa identidade de cidadãos do mundo. E agora é com o coração saltitante de alegria que a gente fala com ele diretamente do México, onde tocou depois da Austrália e antes de chegar ao Brasil. É um privilégio conversar com o autor da trilha sonora de nossas vidas, Sir Paul McCartney.
Hey, Pedro.
Hello, Paul.
Hi. Boa noite.
Boa noite. Does anyone call you sir? In which circumstances?
Yeah, they do, yeah. But I don't mind. You can call me Paul. It's my name.
Or, what about Maka? Anyone calls you still Maka?
You can call me Maka, yeah. That's why I used to get called at school. Hey, Maka!
So in 1989, when you welcomed me in Hog Hill Mill, you had just released the album Flowers in the Dirt, and there was a song for Chico Mendes, the Amazon champion.
Yeah.
The song was called How Many People.
Yeah.
How many people go for a ride? How many people never made it through to the other side? If you can tell me, I'll gladly listen. How many people?
But then, 35 years ago, climate change was regarded as a possibility.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, we did any progress from then to nowadays?
Yeah, I think so. You know, progress is slow. It takes forever. And if you have a good leader in, then he can maybe help. So let's hope that the new leader is good on climate change and eco matters.
So we Brazilians, we find it very flattering that you'll be here for the 10th time. But it's always business trips, isn't it? I mean, if you wake up in the middle of the night in a hotel room, what reassures you you are in Brazil?
Well, when I checked in, I looked to see where the hotel is. But yeah, you know, it's different. The bird sounds are different. So you wake up to different birds. And sometimes I've woken up to bongos out in the garden, you know, guys playing bongos. So, you know it's Brazil. We love Brazil. It's a beautiful country. And the people are very beautiful.
Olha, o Paul já esteve tantas vezes no Brasil que até eu não duvido se ele já foi realmente capaz de discernir o canto do curió baiano do socó de Porto Alegre. Aham. Ele já se apresentou mesmo em todos os estados das regiões sul e sudeste do Brasil e só não cobriu todas as regiões brasileiras porque falta a região norte. Por enquanto. Em 2017, quando ele esteve em Salvador, ele recebeu uma homenagem por ter vendido 1.500.000 ingressos no Brasil, mais do que qualquer outro artista internacional. E olha que depois disso ele já voltou em 2019 e agora em 23. 40 years ago, Brazil was not in the map of show business international circuit, but now we've had more Paul McCartney than Canada or France, and we would like to believe that there's a special connection between Paul and Brazil. Is there anyone? I mean, hopefully?
Yeah, I think there is, you know. Brazil loves the music. Brazilian people love the music, and I love my music, and they love my music. So that's a big connection, you know. It's always great to go to Brazil. And at this time of year, I must admit, England is cold and damp, and Brazil is beautiful. So that's another attraction. It's mainly the music and the people.
Back in Beatles' time, in the 60s, the Beatles went to the Philippines, to Japan, and Brazilian press always treated as an imminent. The Beatles would fly down to Rio. But you know how press can be. Do you recall any serious consideration of the Beatles playing in Brazil?
You know, the truth is, Pedro, that we just listened to our manager. Our manager in those days just said, you're going to Japan. And we went, okay. And you went to Japan. So if you never mentioned Brazil, we would never come down here. But nowadays, it's more my choice. You know, I can say to my promoter, I'd like to go to Brazil. Is that possible? So he can get on the phone to the Brazilian promoter and say, hey, can we come?
Was it Bossa Nova, the first Brazilian music that called your attention?
Yeah, I think so. In the 60s, yeah. There was some very Bossa Nova. Yeah, it was very good music coming out of Brazil. And some great musicians. And what I liked was a few of them actually covered my songs and made them into Brazilian sounding songs, you know, put the Brazilian rhythm with them. So that was a great compliment for me. Sees the sun going down and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. And then we heard, like you say, Bossa Nova, and yeah, it was very, very popular.
Did you get to know any rock or pop Brazilian bands that somehow surprised you?
I mean, I've heard Brazilian bands. I saw I'm going to even forget his name now, but I saw a guy in New York who was really good. I loved his music. But yeah, so I've seen a few Brazilian bands and they're very good. You know, like I say, you love music in your country.
We do.
So if you love music, there's a good chance you play it well. And Brazilian bands are great with rhythm.
You know, we are Brazilians. We are sort of proud that we have two nationals connected somehow to your story. The first one was a lady called Lizzie Bravo. Lizzie Bravo was a teenager that kind of squatted outside Abbey Road Studios. Day after day, she was there. Till once upon a time, you yourself came out and asked, "Is anyone here able to sustain a high note?" And then this lady, Lizzie Bravo, and another English woman, they did sing, "Nothing's Gonna Change My World."
Yeah, and I remember
that.
She was
between John's microphone and yours.
I remember that, yeah. That was great. And, you know, we just wanted someone to sing that refrain, and they did it very well. Girls were good.
She even wrote a book about her acquaintance, if you can call it like this, with the Beatles, with Paul. And she once I think she stood before your house. That's Lizzie on your side.
Yeah, there she is.
Listen, I'm going to show another friend of yours from Brazil. His name is Harold. Allow me to show you introduced to him to a huge audience in Goiânia 10 years ago.
That's Harold, yeah. See my little friend. He's called Harold. Hello, Harold.
Hello.
Say hello to the people.
Hello.
This is a first, I must say. Okay.
This was definitely a first.
I think what happened was the all those grasshoppers were on the screen. They were attracted by the lights. So there were millions of them on the screen. And then we did Live and Let Die. And there was a bang, boom. And they all flew off. And a lot of them landed on me. I had to keep going. Now, luckily, I don't mind. I'm not one of those people who's scared of bugs. You know, so I kind of liked it. And I was, hey, we got quite a relationship.
Yeah, we could see it showed. Do you often get emotional on stage?
Sometimes, yeah. I remember some occasions. I think it was in Brazil, too. There was a tall man who was obviously the father, and black hair and a beard, and he was a good-looking man, and he had his daughter with him. He had his arm around his daughter. And I think I was singing Let It Be, and they were looking at each other. You know, she was looking up at her daddy, and he was looking down at her. And it was very loving, the look, you know. So it got to me. I happened to be watching them, and I felt the emotion. It was very beautiful, You know, I'm a family man, so I love that.
I always thought that you up there on the stage, you would look to nowhere, but then you pay attention to these kind of details. And
yeah, sometimes sometimes you can see one or two things if the lights light them up. You see one or two people probably near the front, but it's nice, you know. It's just gives you a connection with the audience. And this daddy and his little girl was very special for me. I've remembered it since then.
For instance, when you played for the first time in Brazil, it was a record-breaking attendance to a concert. You played for more than 90,000 people each night. I wonder if memories popped up of your first stadium show in New York 25 years before.
Shea Stadium, yeah, was the first big stadium show that we'd done and that pretty much anyone had done. And it was very special because the audience was great, but the sound system was so bad, we couldn't really hear ourselves. It was just, but it was kind of exciting. But then we got a better sound system so we could hear ourselves.
Probably you're going to have a better sound quality now in your return to Maracanã 30 years later, now from the first time. It's an absolutely sold-out gig. Is there any special meaning for this Maracanã revival, the new gig there?
Yeah, we have, all of us on the tour, we have a lot of memories of that show, because we came in a few days before and the weather was really bad. It was like storm clouds and it was raining all the time. And we were looking at it, I was saying, what's the weather forecast going to be? And everyone said, we don't know. So I was at a press conference and all the journalists were asking, Paul, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if it rains? And what are you going to do? I said, it will not rain. Now, I didn't know, but I just said, it will not rain. Just being super confident. And about an hour before I went on, it stopped raining. So my crew were all, oh, I love it, you know.
Oh, praise be our prophet.
Yeah. So anyway, but then the show itself was very magical. And like you say, loads of people. I think we still hold the record for, I think there was 184,000. There's a lot of people.
You do.
And what I liked was some people of mine who went in the crowd and watched them said there were people making love in the crowd. I miss that. I would have liked to see that.
Ooh. Listen, Paul, touring can be very tiring. What do you really still enjoy about traveling on tour after all these years?
The people, the audience. They're so special, you know. So over the years, we've had some very good fans and they've listened to all our music and they know it. Some of them know it better than I do. So it's exciting, you know, to come and play for them and just see the warmth coming back. It's very, very good, you know, it's very good for your heart. So that's what I love. It's the main thing I love. I love playing the music, but I love the audience reaction. It's very special.
One of the most soulful moments of Got Back show is the duet with John, I've Got a Feeling. It's a brilliant use of technology, but it's to enhance humanity. Is this an exception in the use of technology? Some human ending, human intentions?
Yeah, I think you have to be careful because some technology can cheat and it can get people to say things they didn't say, or you can make people's voices and say to the audience, hey, this is Paul singing God Only Knows. But I say, I've never sung that. So it's just a machine singing it. But when we worked with Peter Jackson on the Get Back series, he needed to clear some of the vocals so he could use them in his film. So when he came to mix the film, if he lifted one of the voices, the background didn't come up. So he showed me this technology. It was very exciting. So when we had to try and isolate John's voice for the new record Now and Then, I asked Peter, could he do it? And he and his people made it so clear, so beautiful, that then we were able to finish the record and lift John's voice without bringing any of the background in. So that's very special. And then he said to me, look, I can do I've Got a Feeling, and I can isolate it. He said, and then you guys will be able to play live with it. So, Paul, you'll be able to play live with John. So that was magical. So we do that in our show now. And it's a great moment for me, very special moment.
A mesma tecnologia que o diretor Peter Jackson usou para isolar a voz de John Lennon para esse dueto com Paul McCartney em 2023 foi usada para limpar os ruídos de uma velha fita cassete que John tinha deixado gravada, tinha gravado ali de forma amadora em casa e tinha largado lá no fim da década de 70. Pois é, o John deixou a música para lá, mas o Paul, Ringo e George trabalharam nela em 1995. Mas só agora, com With a Little Help, com uma pequena ajuda dos computadores, os dois Beatles sobreviventes completaram Now and Then. Now and Then foi um enorme sucesso, não só nas plataformas de streaming, mas em qualquer conversa, roda de discussão sobre o uso de tecnologia na arte, sobre os significados ocultos da letra e até sobre o lugar da música na discografia da banda. E como não é sempre que a gente tem a oportunidade de entrevistar Paul McCartney, logo depois dele ter lançado uma música nova dos Beatles, vamos incluir o próprio Paul nesse debate. In your shows, you manage your playlist in a way that you please the audience playing classics and oldies, but also you tease the audience with recent songs. And how would you rate Now and Then? It's a recent classic? It's a recent song?
Yeah, I think it's very good. It's surprising because you would think it wouldn't live with the other Beatles classic stuff, but it does. And many people have said to me, wow, they're so surprised. It sounds like a genuine Beatle record. And, you know, it's got John, in the vocal. It's got me playing bass, Ringo playing drums, George playing guitar. So it is the four Beatles playing together. And it's the last time we'll be able to do that, sadly, because, you know, George won't be able to play anymore. So, but it was very special making it. And it was very, there was a lot of love in making it. And I worked closely with Giles Martin, who's George Martin's son. And he's really good. We had a lot of fun. And he helped me put the record together. And I think it's very good. I think it's turned out well.
It is.
It's gone to number one. That's not bad.
Yes, all over the world.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But listen, a few months before he was murdered, John said that John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison and Ringo Starr could put on a concert, but the Beatles can never exist again because we are not at our 20s anymore. So I ask you, is Now and Then a Beatles song or a song by John, Paul, George and Ringo?
I think it's the same thing. I think it's a Beatles song because when we used to work together, John would bring a song in, or I would bring a song in, and we would all work on it. And this was very similar because we heard John's song and we worked around it. And when we put the headphones on with John's voice in it, it was like he was in the next room. It was like he was in the studio. It was kind of a little bit magic. So it was like making a Beatles record. So, yeah, I think it's a Beatles record. It's the last Beatles record.
There's a lot of speculation about John's inspiration for the lyrics of Now and Then. But when you sing, if I make it through, it's all because of you. Who are you thinking of?
Well, it's John's song, so I'm singing his lyrics. I'm thinking of the group. I'm thinking of the four men, boys, who made the record. Now, I don't know if John was making the song for Yoko, which is possible, or whether he was making it for us. And that's the speculation you talk about. Some people, there are a lot of good people. Peter Jackson thinks this was John speaking to me directly. And you know what? It's very nice for me to think. So I'll have that. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John, Paul, George, Ringo. Isso sim. Então, depois do intervalo, vou querer saber um pouco mais sobre o ser humano Paul McCartney, longe dos holofotes e da lenda dos Beatles. Rapidinho, em instantes. Bem-vindos de volta à nossa segunda parte da conversa com Paul McCartney, que está no Brasil para 8 shows, além do show que ele fez uma canja de surpresa em Brasília, no Clube do Choro. A turnê se chama Got Back. A música mais recente do repertório é Women and Wives, que foi lançada em 2020. E você ouviu agora na volta do intervalo. A música fala sobre transmitir experiências e aprendizados. O que fazemos com a nossa vida parece importar aos outros. Paul está em seu terceiro casamento, tem 5 filhos, 1 irmão, e o que ele recebeu dos pais faz parte de sua música. É, basta lembrar que Mother Mary, de Let It Be, é a mãe dele, Mary Patricia, que morreu quando ele tinha só 14 anos. O pai dele, James, era um músico amador, tinha um piano na sala de casa, que viveu até os 73 anos, e ele, então, teve a chance, o prazer de ver o seu filho muito bem sucedido como músico. When you look inadvertently to the mirror, whose face gets you sometimes by surprise? Jim's or Mary's?
I think it's the mix of both, you know? That's what happens with most kids. I've got a bit of Mary and a bit of Jim. I've got a lot of music from Jim. I've got a lot of loving from Mary, because she was a nurse. She was a very good woman, very caring woman. So in the mirror, I like to think It's half and half. It's a bit of both.
Thank you very much, Paul. Hope to see you on stage in Brazil.
Thanks, man. Great to see you again.
É o seguinte, gente. Há muito menos peixinhos a nadar no mar que os aplausos que esse cara merece e terá na terra da Bossa Nova. Paul McCartney começou ontem a parte oficial da perna brasileira da turnê Got Back. Os próximos shows são em Belo Horizonte, nos dias 3 e 4 de dezembro, São Paulo, 7, 9 e 10, Curitiba, no dia 13, e para encerrar, Rio de Janeiro, aquele abraço, no Rio 16. Vem cá, um dezembro pleno de Paul, de Beatles para nós. Paul loves you, yeah, yeah, oh yeah, man. Valeu, valeu, gente, tchau. Viva os Beatles, viva a música. Ficou curioso para ver as imagens do programa? É só entrar na página de conversa no Globoplay. Tá tudo lá. Até a próxima!